It started in, I want to say, around 2011. I became a pretty heavy marijuana user. I remember I was driving home from a conference. I was in a fraternity, and I remember feeling this weird feeling like reality wasn't real. I want to say it was 2012. I had my first real solid panic attack that landed me in the emergency room. I think I'm dying, having a heart attack, and they say everything looks great. A few more really bad episodes all the way through 2015. I probably was in the emergency room, I don't know, six, seven times.
What would you say were your like the most hated or the hardest symptom you struggled with the most?
Cardiophobia. When I cut caffeine out for 100 days, I felt so proud of myself. And I had the worst stretch of panic that I maybe have ever had at the end of that. Now, versus when I was trying to recover on my own through all these crazy methods, I have confidence back. I have confidence that I actually can live my life and live a life that I never dreamed of.
Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. I'm Mirka, and just like Kaylee and Shiv, I'm one of the members of Sean's mentorship team. And today we have Tom here. And I'm not big of introducing others. I think Tom can do way better job than me. So Tom, if you can tell us a little bit at first, just who you are, what you're doing, if you want to tell us that.
First of all, thank you, Mirka, for having me on, and thanks for Bye Bye Panic for wanting me to jump on here and share a little bit about my story and my recovery and the whole journey. So I'm 35. I live in Iowa in the Midwest of the United States. Just a good old Midwestern boy, born and raised in Sioux City, and I got a wife and three kids: 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So I'm incredibly busy. I'm a school teacher. I'm a golf coach. In the past, I've trained jujitsu and done some jujitsu coaching. I'm pretty new to that, so I'm kind of using the word coach loosely there. Very active. I'm a pastor, so I have a Christian faith. I know not everybody that watches this will share that with me, but you're just getting to know me. So that's just a little bit about me.
If you could tell us how the anxiety, the whole falling into the cycle started for you.
So it started in, I want to say, around 2011. So give or take, it's kind of a blur. I'd say 12 to 13 years ago, I became a pretty heavy marijuana user, smoker. You could use the word pothead. I was a stoner. I started partying a lot. This was right after high school, going into college. My first semester of my freshman year of college was it just insane. We were drinking every night. We were doing drugs every day, smoking weed every day. And that was fine. I was not in the cycle. I was having the time of my life. I was like, this is awesome. I'm out of my parents' house. This is great. Fast forward a few years after really abusing all the above, alcohol, weed, drugs. I remember I was driving home from a conference. I was in a fraternity, and we were taking a road trip down to Kansas City, which is about 4 hours away from my hometown. And on the way back, we smoked in the car. And I remember feeling this weird feeling like reality wasn't real. And so I was having derealization, but I didn't know that at the time. I remember I was just like slinking back in my chair, just kind of like freaking out for like 3 hours straight and thinking like, was this weed laced? What happened here? And everyone else was fine. They were having fun, laughing. And I was just so in my head. So I remember smoking. I would keep derealizing, depersonalizing when I'd smoke. And then I was also abusing stimulants at the time. So like Adderall, uppers, and my heart would get really fast. I'd get tachycardia. I'd get ectopic heartbeats, you know, those missed heartbeats, skipped heartbeats, which now I know they're fine. They're harmless. At the time though, with all this drug abuse and derealizing and heart issues, I had my first panic attack. It was when I smoked weed. I want to say it was 2012. I had my first real solid panic attack that landed me in the emergency room. And of course, the tale as old as time. They do all the tests. I think I'm dying, having a heart attack. And they say, everything looks great. Have you ever heard of anxiety before? Have you heard of panic attacks? And I'd heard of them, but I always assumed it was just when people were nervous, when they say, oh, I'm having a panic attack. But I had a real one. And I was like, oh, no, I've never heard of this. I didn't realize it was that scary. And so they sent me out of there. I met with a cardiologist and they did all the tests on my heart, followed up for months with my family care doctor. And that started me off on the cycle where I had probably from 2011-ish to 2011 was when I started having weird anxiety. 2012 was my first panic attack. A few more really bad episodes all the way through 2015. I probably was in the emergency room, I don't know, six, seven times. Always with the same stuff, and it was always just told to me, you just have panic. And that led to a very long journey that I'm sure we'll fill in the blanks over the course of the next few minutes, but that's kind of how it all started for me. And then just not knowing what was wrong, thinking I'm dying, thinking I'm losing my mind, thinking there's no way out, and then fearing the next panic attack. So that's the cycle right there.
Exactly. It's funny how most people, the first panic attack lands them in emergency room. It was the same for me, and I actually went there with like fancy car. They
You
called
drove yourself.
ambulance. They called ambulance for me. I wasn't like, going into emergency room. I was like, I'm going, in style because I really believed I was having a heart attack. Since it started, since the first panic attack, and then, as it progressed, what would you say were your like the most hated or the hardest symptom you struggled with the most? Like, what was the worst?
Yes, my worst personally, and so many people have different flavors of this. It's all the same problem as we're going to discover as we talk. But my flavor, to use that word, was cardiophobia. It was the fear of my heart. I thought any weird chest tweak, any weird sensation, tightness, any weird numbness, pain, even my breath connecting to my chest. Having acid reflux like symptoms, but I always was convinced that was connected to my heart. It was always related to the heart for me. And it's still to this day, it can trip me up for a minute. It can pull me back into my bad, unproductive thoughts of you must have a heart problem, even though I've had so many professionals tell me, dude, you're 35, you're a young man. You're healthy, you eat pretty healthy, you don't abuse drugs anymore, you don't smoke, you're active, your heart is fine. What other tests do you want?
And I think you're gonna agree with me here. It's not about the symptom, it's about the story. So for you and for me, for example, it was the heart because the story behind it was something is wrong with my heart, I'm gonna die. That was the story behind it. But for the people that DPDR is the scariest, it's that, am I going crazy? Am I even real? It's the story, the feeling by itself, the sensation, the perception. There's nothing really that bad about it. Same with the headache. If you have random headaches for seemingly no reasons, like Kaylee struggled with headaches and migraines, and nobody can help you with it and medication is not working, then yeah, the story behind it is scary and the story behind it makes it feel way worse. But if I'm going to be in the sun all day and I'm going to drink a measly like glass of water and that's it, then I'm going to get headache. It's going to be, yep, I know why it happened. There's no mystery behind it. There's no scary story. I didn't drink enough. I was in the sunshine all day. Well, yeah, this is what I get, right? So I realized it's not about the symptoms. Symptoms become acceptable when the story behind them is acceptable.
Exactly. You have to change the narrative. You have to change the tape because we all go back into those thoughts that we had when it became very scary and we start to believe them. And we know after that's why Sean says in the YouTube channel and then in the mentorship, we get this drilled into our heads with the mechanics of anxiety. When your education goes up, your fear comes down. Once you get through to the other side a few times, you'll start to understand.
So before we get to the actual right way of doing it, tell me what you tried before to, get rid of anxiety, fix the
Yeah.
symptoms, figure out what's wrong with you.
I think a lot of people start the same way I did. You go through all the medical things and which was actually good for me because then I had to face the reality that I don't have a problem. I don't have a physical problem. It is anxiety. But then I started making anxiety a big problem, which is everyone was what everyone does. So I started trying to fix it by, well, if I just learn the perfect breathing techniques to get rid of this, pressure points. If I have the right pressure points and the breathing and the temperature control, you've seen those YouTube videos or those reels on TikTok, I've tried them. I'm not gonna lie, I've been like, okay, I feel a little nervous. I'm gonna just press here. And so I've done all the funky stuff like that. There's all the vagus nerve reactions. I'm not a medical professional, so I hope I'm not butchering that, but you'll know if you're an anxious person and you've battled this, you'll know what we're talking about. You'll know exactly what we're talking about.
English is not my first language, so I would definitely butcher it. So I'm not even gonna.
And then, so I tried therapy, and my therapist did not. I did the cognitive behavioral therapy route, the CBT therapy, and there was some benefit from that. There was some relief. Definitely was not, it was more, I was more coping at that point. I was not practicing acceptance. I was maybe starting to get there, but there was a lot of missing pieces in the CBT that I did. Exposure therapy, I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna fight it now. I'm just gonna like grit my teeth and I'm gonna get into the cage with the lion and I'm just gonna fight it. And that surprisingly gave me some relief. I was like, yeah, I'll just fight this. But I still was not accepting it. I was treating it like a problem still. And diet changes, you hear that a lot with people with anxious symptoms. A lot of diet experimentation, caffeine cessation. I cut caffeine out. Actually, this is funny, America. When I cut caffeine out for 100 days, I felt so proud of myself. And I had the worst stretch of panic that I maybe have ever had at the end of that. At the end, 80 days with no caffeine. And I had a 2 week stretch where my panic was crazy. And so I was like, wait a minute, I cut caffeine out. This is supposed to go away. And then, avoiding sugar. I didn't get super radical with any of the really weird, like naturopath stuff. I didn't go down a lot of that route, but I feel like I did with everything within reason to try to get rid of it. And then I just threw my hands up and I was just like, it was really depressing, actually. I'm not a very depressed person, but I kind of got to the end of my rope. I got sober. I'm a sober man. I've been sober for 9 years. And I thought, well, now I'm sober, so this will go away. And it did go away for a while. I'm still sober, and that's for personal reasons and for my faith. And I know, like I said, I know a lot of people don't share these convictions, but I've made a choice that I'm going to remain sober, not to like fight anxiety. That's a personal choice. But I thought maybe sobriety would also fix it in a way, and it didn't. So yeah, I've tried about everything, and I failed. I failed in a lot of different ways, and a lot of those fixes were only bandages that would eventually fall off, and I'd still have the big problem. So yeah, I tried a lot of stuff.
Right. So now tell me, what do you think was different when you found Bye-Bye Panic and you started learning with us? What do you think was different to what you've tried before?
I remember it was actually September of last year, so about a year ago. I remember I was just going down the rabbit hole of Googling, YouTubing anxiety, panic attack cures, all this stuff. And I remember I came across Sean's testimony and I put it on as I went to take a shower. And I remember at the end of the shower, I was about halfway through the testimony and I was glued to my screen. I like paused it and finished getting ready. And I watched the rest of Sean's video. And I remember sitting there in silence for about 2 minutes after watching it with tears going down my face, tears. Because I was like, this man is me. And I had not met a man like me. And so I'm a very skeptical person by nature. I did a lot of research about BBP before I joined. I was like, what's the catch? What's the catch? And then I was like, you know what? This dude, Sean, he's putting out all of his content for free on YouTube. He's not hiding anything behind a paywall. There's not like, hey, watch this video, and if you're more interested, I'll share the full secrets. If you pay $29.99, I'll share my full secrets with you. Like, I'm this secret guru. Sean has been very transparent from everything I can see. And he's like, I'm sure there's been many people that have recovered just through the YouTube content. Yeah, it's possible. So I downloaded the blueprint. And I started practicing acceptance. I'm sure if you've spent time on this YouTube channel, you've heard Sean talk a lot about acceptance. I'm sure the name Claire Weeks rings a bell. There's a lot of history behind this method. And he kept saying things like long-term freedom, long-term freedom, long-term recovery. This is not a cope. This is overcoming anxiety. And I love how Sean puts it. you're going to outgrow this. You're going to get to a point where this is no longer important for you, and you will get to the other side. It's inevitable. That was the word that always blew me away. I was like, inevitable? This is going to happen. If you practice this, it will happen. It's not like, well, 40% of the people recover if they do this. It's like, no, if you do this, you will recover. So I tried the program on my own. I did the blueprint, and Sean in his videos, he'd be like, if you just need an extra hand, a little guidance, we have this other program, the mentorship, you can try out. It's going to be the same stuff you're learning here, but some of us just need a guide to help us. And so I looked into it. I was like, you know what? It costs money. I talked to my wife. I was like, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. And she was kind of on the fence because we don't have a ton of money. I'm a teacher, so I don't make a ton. I'm not like a rich man. And finally, I had a really bad panic attack. And I was like, Cassie, that's my wife's name. I was like, Cassie, we got to do this. I got to do it. I got to do this. And so I joined the program, and so I've been practicing acceptance now for about a year. I met you, Mirka. I met Kaylee. I met Shiv. I met Jeff. I met Vicky. Number one, I'm not unique. I have met hundreds of people that know exactly what I'm going through. And all of the coaches, including you, know exactly what I feel like and that you've been there. Even if our symptoms vary slightly, all of this is because our nervous system has become sensitized, all of it. And so nobody is special. I've met people in the program that they come in and a weekend they're talking about how the sky is falling. They have the worst anxiety ever. They'll never get out of this. And then they start talking to people on the calls and they're like, oh, you thought that too? And you thought that, and you thought that, and you thought that. And then you have enough evidence to realize, oh, yeah, I'm not special. And I just need to follow what these people are doing and teaching, and I will get there. So what's different for me is I'm not unique. And what's also different for me now versus when I was trying to recover on my own through all these crazy methods is I have confidence back. I have confidence that I actually can live my life and live a life that I never dreamed of because I started limiting myself. I started saying, you know, you have to have this really tight, safe zone. You can live life, but it's got to be in this really tight, safe zone. And you've got to avoid certain things. And you got to be careful about what you do because you know this could trigger you or that might trigger you. And then what if your breathing technique doesn't work? And then you have to run and all this. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not desensitized yet. I know I'm well on my way to being desensitized because I have done things in the last 9 months, Mirka, that Tom 2 years ago would have never signed up for, would have said, no way. Dude, do you want to have a panic attack? And now you ask me that today. Do you want to have a panic attack? And I'll be like, yeah, if it happens, it happens. What am I gonna do? I'm just gonna, it's there. So what? So what? Right behind your head mirror. So what? So that's what's different. I'm not special and I have confidence. This program has taught me that I can do things scared. I can do things feeling any which way. Feelings are an indicator, they're not a dictator. My feelings indicate something that I'm feeling, but they cannot dictate what I do. They don't have to. So I know that's a long answer. I hope I didn't ramble too much, but that's kind of what's different this time around.
I love that answer, actually. And I hear a lot of mentors in it. I heard Shiv and I hear us all over it, and that's great. And yeah, so what I had that made especially for group calls, just to have it as a reminder. And there was a point in time where even sometimes I didn't give an answer. I would just be like, that was my style because I
Yeah.
really love that sign. Because when I was recovering, obviously, Sean was just starting out. There was no mentorship. There were a couple of videos on his YouTube channel, and he was adding as I was recovering with like raping the replay button, right? Like again and again and again and again, because I didn't have hundreds and hundreds of videos to choose from. And because there was no alarm, there was no specific way to respond, he didn't, gifted us at that time, with any of that. I just had to figure out my own way to responding to anxiety, and especially to those thoughts and the stories that were tied to the symptoms and to whatever I was feeling. So it kind of eventually it kind of condensated into the so what. And whatever my mind said, whatever the thought was, whatever the feel was, like, so what? I can't do
So
anything
what?
about it. Just let's go. You joined us about, you said it's around a year. It's around a year. So how are you doing now? Obviously, you said it and you're right, you're not desensitized fully yet. Even I said on my timeline, it took me a little over a year and a half. So yeah, I wouldn't be at your point desensitized either. And Sean claimed I was fast. So you still have plenty of time to get there, obviously, and you have the right mindset. But if you could compare how you're doing now compared to when you came to us, how did your life, you already kind of, started talking about that, but how are you doing now in terms of your life and also in terms of how you feel the anxiety? You're not desensitized fully, but how do you feel overall?
I was actually really excited about filming this today because you'll hear a nasty word in this program. Setback is a big word that people throw around. Like I was doing so well, and then everything came back, and now I'm starting over. It's this tragic moment for people when the symptoms return. One of the best things I've learned through this program is as you desensitize and as you practice acceptance, it is truly, and Sean teaches this as well, it's a non-linear path. And your symptoms throughout the entirety of your journey can go any direction. You can be, I'll use me for an example. Obviously, I'm here doing the interview, so I'll pick on myself. So, about 3 weeks ago, I had a really bad panic attack. And then that set me into a little bit of a tailspin. I'm going to be very honest with people here. For about a week or 2 weeks, I had a bad panic attack, and then I had a really bad one at night, and then I had another one about a week ago. We were on vacation. I had a bad panic attack at night, and finally, it was that panic attack, the most recent one. And I hadn't, just to clarify, I hadn't had bad panic attacks. This was like end of August, middle of August. I hadn't had panic attacks since like May. So I had a long stretch where I felt symptoms, but I didn't have like that full panic sensation. And so I was like crushing it with my response. Like this summer, I did so many things and I did things scared. I did things anxious. I went on a trip by myself, 2 hours away from home and stayed. One of my triggers that historically triggered me was being by myself, being away from my hometown, not knowing where the nearest medical place was. Those would all trigger me so bad, kind of agoraphobic a little bit. And I did a trip this summer with some friends, 2 hours away from home, and felt anxious off and on the whole trip, but just accepted it the whole time. And I had a really good time. I made a lot of great memories. So I had a really good summer of responding. So anyways, back to this setback. I had these really bad panic attacks, and I allowed it to cause me to spiral for a minute. I had that moment of, oh no, this whole thing didn't work. What have I done? This is terrible. But then, Mirko, what happened was, but just recently, within the last 7 days, 6, 7 days, this setback has built me so much confidence, more confidence than I've actually ever had in the program. And you'll hear that from people that are practicing acceptance through bye-bye panic. When they have the right mindset, these setbacks actually aren't a bad thing. They're actually a great thing because they are like, Kaylee says this a lot. They are like these, to use the video game analogy, they're like these boss battles in a video game. And so you're going through the level, you're defeating these weak enemies. It's like, okay, a little chest tightness. That's a weak enemy. Boom, kill it. I'm just accepting it, whatever. And you'll fight these little enemies along the way. And then you might fight a bigger, like a mini boss, and you'll be like, oh, that was easy. And then all of a sudden, this big boss marches into the screen. And they're like, panic attack time. Now you're gonna die. And they test you, they check you a little bit, and you get humbled a little bit. You get humbled. And it really dawned on me. It's like, dude, you've built so much confidence over the last 9 months being in the mentorship, a year practicing acceptance, that these panic attacks are the same ones that you used to get. They're no worse, they're no different. It's the same exact thing. And so I've been responding, like I said, Mirka, about the last 7 days. I've had this boss battle still is going on right now. I've had the mega waves come back, and I have been so chill and so just like, whatever. It's my life. I'm going to live it. If anxiety wants to come along for the ride, if panic attacks want to show up again, I'm just tired of freaking out. I'm just tired of it. And this week at school, I've had some crazy things happen. I went on a run the other day. A panic attack came up. It caused me to like have a momentary like, oh, here it comes. But then I was like, so what? It's fine. So I guess in the big picture of things, yeah, desensitization takes a little bit of time. But as far as my recovery journey goes, this setback has really shown me that I'm gonna be just fine. The final piece of desensitization, in my opinion, is you need to move past, you need to outgrow your anxiety, and you need to start wondering, who am I without this? And then you need to start living like that person. You need to start, okay, who am I without this? I want to be in really good shape. I want to be a really good dad. I want to be a really good husband. I want to travel the world with my wife. My wife loves to travel. I want to compete in different athletic events. I golf pretty competitively. I want to play tournaments. I want to maybe do jiu-jitsu competitions. I want to do all this stuff. And so the final piece to recovery, in my opinion, is find out who you want to be as a person and forget about your nerves, your sensitized nerves. Just forget about it. Don't even factor it into the equation of who you want to be. And then once you know who that person is, or maybe you don't fully know, maybe you have some ideas, start pursuing those ideas. Start pursuing your life that you want to live. And if anxiety wants to come along for the ride, just let it. And eventually it will just leave. It'll just go away. And now you're just living the life you always wanted to live, and your sensitized nerves are no longer sensitized.
Honestly, I'm right there with you, and I know people that watch the channel and know some stories with me, they remember this story. I actually, like you said, I was basically symptom free for like 2 months. I was free of panic attacks for longer, for months, but basically all symptoms free for like 2 months, you know, definitely month and something, when my biggest and last setback hit. And to be honest, looking back, I also said it in later videos. I, looking back at it, I got lazy. It was a little bit more like resensitization. I got lazy. I got lazy with my thoughts. I started seeing problems and big things again. I was overthinking. I was ruminating. I was resisting all over the place to anything that was happening in my life because suddenly I didn't have this big issue of anxiety symptoms to deal with. So suddenly the small issues again started, like, you know, I was really, really like cranky about everything. I got lazy. And I got the biggest, or what felt like biggest panic attack of all times. And that was actually the only time I contacted Sean. By that time, he already had a mentorship and he offered during my journey. But once he kind of started offering it, I was already so far along that I'm like, dude, actually, I think I'm fine. Thank you. And this was the only time, and Sean already spoke about it, I reached out. And I messaged him and I'm like, dude, because I had a panic attack. I went on all fours. I crawled back into my apartment, totally defeated, totally disappointed. And I sent him a message. But Sean, because at that point we're kind of friends and he kind of knew me, he was like, what are you doing? Don't be stupid. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. So I didn't give up and I went back out again and I continued with my day. But that fear, that disappointment, that surprise, that bewilderment, because it was so unexpected, kind of stuck. And then I had another one, another one, another one. And within a month, I was basically back where I was at the beginning with all the symptoms 24/7, adrenaline palpitations, shakes, all of the things. But then I realized I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this. I started limiting myself again. And then I'm like, I'm tired. I'm done. No more of this. I'm just going back to where I was before, which was living absolutely normal life, symptoms or not. And I'm going back to it. And it doesn't matter if I'm anxious all day long, if I have symptoms 24/7, it doesn't matter. I'm just tired of fighting this. Within a couple of weeks, I was fine. No symptoms ever since. And I gained so much confidence by that. If anxiety wants to run in and drop a piano on my head, I don't really care because after this, I know I can get through anything.
So just to be brutally honest with people watching this, this is recorded, obviously, we're not live, but there's there's going to be anxious moments in all of our lives. You know what, even when we're not sensitized, everybody knows what anxiety feels like. We all get anxious from time to time. So filming a YouTube video for the channel, it's Bye Bye Panic. I love so much. I want to offer as much value as possible. You know, there were some nerves about filming a video. And so in the middle of filming this, all the old thoughts started trying to jump in. And I'm not even messing around. Like, had we filmed this video in the beginning of my recovery, I would have had to tell you to stop, Mirka. I can't do it. Like, it's too much. I'm going to panic. I can't do this. And without the practice that I've put in over the last 9 months, I don't think this video is even possible, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, most people don't like public speaking. I know that we're just talking on a camera, so it's not like technically public speaking, but we know like people are going to watch this and things like that. And I think nerves are okay. That means you care. I wanted to really help people. Anyone that watches this, I just wanted to be a light of guidance for somebody. So there's that pressure you put on yourself. And if I'm honest, there were symptoms filming this video. And I mean, it wasn't a big deal. It was just like, whatever. Okay, it's fine. You're gonna be fine. And the thoughts, you know, the thoughts want to jump in and be like, hey, dude, you probably can't do this. Like, this is too much. And it's just like, oh, hello again, thought. Okay, let's keep talking to Mirka now. And I feel great. Like, I feel totally fine. I feel normal. But there's those little moments, just normal human moments, that you get nervous. And just like everybody feels before something that means something to them or something that's scary, you get nervous. And us sensitized people just feel that a lot more often. And so it's just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and practicing acceptance and just letting things be. Let it be. That's an old Beatles song, isn't it? Let it be.
It is. It
Let it
absolutely
be.
is. And
Yeah.
since we are at the topic, Tom, what would you say to someone who is in your shoes before you found us, who is struggling with anxiety right now, who is having all these symptoms and they are trying all the therapy and acupuncture and cleanses and stuff like that?
Thankfully, I didn't do any needle poking or cleanses. I didn't get to
I
that
did.
level. Yeah, and I know a lot of people have, a lot of people. That's not actually that uncommon. What I would say, let's just pretend I'm talking to myself 2 years ago. I'd say, brother, listen to me right now. You don't have 1,000 problems, you have one. You need to accept this. That's the only way you're going to get through this is to accept it and live your life. And then what I would say is some of you watching this do need a guide. You need a coach. You do. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. I wasn't one of the people that could do this on my own. I just wasn't. It doesn't mean you're weak or you're a, you know, it doesn't mean you're a sissy or you need to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, toughen up. That's not what that means. We were designed, I believe, as people to do things together and to get through hard things together. And so I would recommend you look into Bye Bye Panic. There's a couple different levels of coaching you can look into. I know people watching this are like, oh, here comes the sales pitch. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm telling you. I wouldn't be where I'm at without the mentors. This woman right here, Mirka, we're not great actors. We're friends. We know each other. She's seen me, you know, at my worst, having all these thoughts and rumination and all this. And she's been a straight shooter with me the whole time. And she's been a huge reason why I've gotten to the point I'm at. Sean, Shiv, Jeff, Vicky, who am I? Kaylee, these people. And then you'll meet,
Heather.
and oh my goodness, how could I forget Heather? Heather was like the first person I did a one-on-one call with, and she was amazing. Heather, if you're watching this, I am so sorry. You were in the beginning, Heather. I know we haven't connected a lot lately, but Heather was very instrumental in my first 3 months of Bye Bye Panic. She was huge. And then you meet other people in the community that know what you're dealing with. And then you meet people. Jason had another recovery video. If you YouTube Bye Bye Panic Jason, you'll see his recovery video. He lives like a few hours away from me, and we've become friends. And he's a few months ahead of me, so he's been a mentor of mine. And I would say, don't see your need for guidance as weakness. We all need a helping hand, and we need somebody that's been there before us to guide us. And if that's just these YouTube videos and that's all you need, that's great. But I think more people in, I think because mental health is stigmatized and people feel weird and embarrassed about their mental health struggles, I think once you get over the embarrassment and the fear of looking like a weakling, once you get over that and you just accept the help, like Buy-Bye Panic provides, I think that's when your recovery really accelerates. I think it really accelerates. You can recover without this community, you can. But I think if you want to accelerate the process and really meet some amazing people and gain some incredible wisdom, wisdom that goes way beyond anxiety, you're going to learn a lot about a lot of things. I think finding a community is incredibly important, whether it be like a Facebook group. I know Sean has a Facebook group. There's the mentorship that I'm in. I know there's a lower level that is not as intense as the mentorship, but find a group of people that you can practice acceptance with.
Thank you for saying that. And yeah, I'm a straight shooter and I'm the scary one, right? Everyone knows that. But the fact is, we were actually talking about this with the team very recently, actually today. And one thing that's a fact, and you mentioned it at the beginning, we are not hiding any knowledge behind the paywall. There's no knowledge to hide. Claire Weeks was a pioneer. We're just saying, the same thing. Yeah, we go deeper and we kind of modernize it and we kind of explain it a little bit more. But we're not saying anything that would be a secret. So we don't hide anything behind the paywall. But the fact is, as you said, not everyone is able to do it on their own. It won't click for everyone. And that's because our brain is really good at hiding our own mistakes from us
Yeah, blind
for the
spots.
sake of our comfort. So sometimes you just need someone to point out the hard things. And if I'm good at anything, it's pointing out other people's mistake, however sad that may sound.
No, if you're driving, if I'm driving and I'm about to switch lanes and I'm driving by myself and I don't do a good enough job looking, I could hit a car. But if you're riding with me, Mirka, you can look in my blind spot and you can tell me, hey, don't do that. Or hey, you're okay to do that. That's what community provides. We need people to check our blind spots.
Exactly. So thank you so much for this. And I have last question of my own. Is there something that you would say anxiety and the recovery journey so far, that one important thing it taught you? Can you summarize it in like one thing or one sentence? Is it possible?
Do not base your progress on how you feel. Do you
I'm
want
so proud. Oh my God. Out of everything you could have said, this is the most amazing thing.
to? Yes. And I don't even need to elaborate. I think you know everybody knows what I'm saying that knows about anxiety, that you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tom, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. That's it from me. Bye bye, Panic. And Tom, see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye, guys.